Have you ever heard of a rainmaker, someone who can call on the gods or some kind of magic to bring life-giving water from the sky? Don Decker was a different kind of a rainmaker. Don Decker could make it rain inside, in a house, in a restaurant, in a prison cell. This is the story of Don Decker, a different kind of rainmaker.
Welcome to the Weird World Podcast. My name's Carrie.
I'm Emma.
I'm Dean. And Carrie's a little under the weather. Here's Emma, by the way. Emma's almost
there. Yeah. I am most likely the reason my mom is under the weather. Yes.
Probably. So you made her sick and come on one of your every 15th time podcast. Okay.
Yes.
Great. Great. Thanks for the contribution.
You're welcome.
We'll start today's episode with a little bit of background. You ever heard of Don Decker?
No.
I didn't think so. You know why?
You didn't let me answer.
I have never heard of Don Decker.
I haven't heard of
Don Decker. I only recently heard of this, and it's a pretty amazing case.
He sounds like a madman.
He does sound like a madman. Who was that person? Wasn't it Don Decker?
Don Draper.
I never watched it, but
I didn't either, but I know his name.
So Don Decker was not a Madison Avenue high paid executive advertiser person.
I watched Mad Men. Yeah. I watched it.
Okay, I did like the early '60s clothes and stuff like that.
It's
the
a
thin
really
ties.
Slow show. It's but it's good.
Well, Don Decker grew up kind of in a tough life in Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania. It's a small town in the Poconos Mountains, just over the border from New Jersey. It's about 100 miles north of Philadelphia, if that helps.
Perfect. Okay. I know exactly where this place is now.
I thought you might. In his teen years in the 1970s, he had fallen in with kind of the wrong crowd.
Uh-oh.
And, you know, he did some drugs. He got into some trouble.
He smoked pot.
I'm sure he did, yes.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was called dope back then.
Yeah. No, it was called marijuana.
Reefer.
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 I mean, in the 30s. Oh. Jesus H. Reefer. Hey, man, want to do some reefer? So he worked odd jobs after high school, but trouble still followed him. By February of 1983, Don was spending pretty much all of his time in the Monroe County Jail because he was in prison.
Uh-oh.
He was serving a 4 to 12 month stretch for receiving stolen property. Like a fence, I guess. I don't know. He had stolen stuff. He was going to move it. I don't know if he stole it or not. He probably did some B&Es. I'm just throwing that out there. I don't know for a fact.
Got it.
But he was, you know, he was a bit of a criminal.
Not the most hardened criminal.
No, he wasn't. No, he wasn't. But it wasn't looking too good for him.
He was on the road to
he was.
Fast.
He was.
It was a slippery slope.
While he's in jail, word comes to the jail, to the warden, that James Kishaw had died. You probably wonder why that's relevant.
No, not James.
Because that person, the 63-year-old man, was Don's grandfather.
Oh.
So the authorities said, hey, you know what? Let's be cool. Let's let Don out on a week's furlough so he can go to the funeral and go commiserate with family and mourn properly. Very nice of them, I thought.
Mm-hmm. That was nice.
Was there some overcrowding issues? I don't know. Maybe. But they decided to let him out on a week's furlough. And Don said, yep, I'll take it. Anything to get out of prison for a little while. And so he headed back home, which I don't think is very far from Stroudsburg. I think I looked up where the Monroe County Jail is now, and it's just outside of Stroudsburg. No idea if that was true in 1983. Mm. It's a new one. I don't know. But he gets back into town, and he goes to the funeral. And remember, he's 21 years old. He's at the burial site. It's a very chilly February 24th, 1983. He stands by the graveside, and he grows increasingly frustrated because all of the people there are eulogizing his grandfather, saying all these great things about him. Don's not a big fan of that because he knows something that the rest of them don't.
Oh my
he
God.
Knows that James Kishaw was a awful person. Mm. He was an alcoholic. We know that because he died of cirrhosis of the liver.
Oh.
Can you die of cirrhosis of the liver with not being an alcoholic?
You can. No.
You can.
I'm going to guess he was an alcoholic. Thanks for both of you saying that with total authority. Probably neither of you have any idea
you
that's
can't,
true.
I've watched a lot of medical shows.
Okay.
You can, but there has to be a reason for it. You know what I mean?
Just like not. Alcoholism.
Well, there's other medical reasons, but I'm sure alcoholism is the main.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm going to say he was, but he was also, according to Don, a sexual abuser.
Oh, goodness.
He had been abusing Don since he was 7 years old and really throughout much of his childhood. So Don had this terrible secret. He had never even told his family. He was the only one there he knew. And he's like, they're all saying these great things about him. He's secretly thanking God this evil is off the earth now at, at the funeral. So they go home. They go back to the Decker household or the Keisha household. I don't know. And he's just getting madder and madder because all again, they're saying all these great things about him. And he just, he can't stand it. He finally gets enough of it. He leaves. And so the next day he arranges to spend that day, Friday, and I think just the rest of the furlough, he's going to spend at the home of Bob and Jenny Kiefer. K-E-I-F-F-E-R.
Okay.
I'm going with Kiefer. One source, by the way, says that the Kiefers were some fairly recent friends of Just Don's. Every other source says they were long-term family friends and they had known Don since childhood. I'm going to go with that because that seems much more likely than they're going to let this, not ex-convict, current convict, stay for their house at a week. So I think the Kiefers were old friends. The Kiefers lived in a rented home on Ann Street. So on the southern end of town. I looked it up.
Okay.
It's just north of where two little rivers meet. I don't know.
Nice.
I think it is. It's a very small street. So I'm assuming it's somewhere along there. It was just about dinner time. So Don goes upstairs to the bathroom to clean up. And that was when the strangeness began. Don would say later that the bathroom began feeling weird to him. It felt really cold to him. He became a little disoriented. Eventually, it almost was like the air in the bathroom was sucked out. And he was like standing in almost like a vacuum, this cold vacuum within the bathroom. So he collapses to the floor, falls down on probably a pretty gross rug. You don't want to fall down in bathrooms, generally speaking.
Especially if they have a rug.
I'm assuming they
did. A poop rug.
Yes. It's basically, he falls down on the poop rug. And he, what, Carrie, it's well known.
That's why you're supposed to close the toilet before you flush the toilet.
It almost doesn't matter. I saw it on Mythbusters. And basically, there's nothing you can do.
Everything in a bathroom is gross. We shouldn't even keep our toothbrushes in there.
Yeah. People should go to the bathroom in the vacuum of space. In my humble opinion, that's just how I feel. So Don finally, he struggles upright. He probably grabbed onto the sink. I have recently found out that you can't support yourself on a toilet paper dispenser. They don't tend to hold your weight, as I found out.
Why would you think it would?
I was very drunk.
Whose toilet roll did you break?
Ours.
Mom fixed it. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
Because I was not capable of doing anything.
Of course.
So he gets up, he stands upright, and he kind of looks in the mirror, and he had a vision. He saw this old man in front of him, looking at him with almost like a demonic version of his grandfather. And he's got scowl on his face, and he's laughing at him. And he has a crown on, like a king's crown, laughing in Don's face. And Don is looking at this, and all of a sudden he feels something on his wrist, and he looks down, and he has three jagged scratches on his arm, and they're all bleeding.
Oh, my Lanta.
So he's a little freaked out. Oh, my Lanta?
Yeah.
Okay. Are you trying to get a sponsor? Because that's fine. What do they do? What do they sell? What is that?
Oh, my Lanta?
No, my Lanta. There's a product called my Lanta. Is it a heartburn thing?
Isn't it an antacid or something?
So you've been saying, "Oh, my Lanta," for who knows how long. You don't even know what my Lanta is.
I don't know what my Lanta is. Shameful. It's just like a, saying, like, "Oh, my Lanta," like instead of like, "Oh,
you have
my
to say
Lord,
it like that,
oh my
like
God,
a Southern Belle."
Yeah,
like,
oh, okay. My Lanta.
Oh, I do believe I have the papers. So
it's a medicine.
Oh,
Don finally comes down to dinner. Bob and Jeannie are no doubt assuming that they're going to have to fumigate the bathroom because it's been a little while.
Yeah, so they're like, he dropped a number three.
Maybe that's okay for prison, Don, but not for our
number
house.
Three means explosive diarrhea.
Yes, they're probably he's probably been gone for a while. He has to clean up his arm and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But so they look down, though, and they spot the scratches on his arm, and they say, what happened?
Yeah.
And apparently, Don was not worried about freaking out his host, because he told him everything. He tells him immediately, yeah, I have this vision, this old man, he's got a crown, he's laughing at me. I look down, I've got these terrible, unexplainable scratches on my arm. Obviously, the Kiefers then immediately tossed their insane convict guest out. No, they didn't, because otherwise there'd not be a story. They didn't. They took it, and they go, huh, that's weird, pass the peas.
Did he tell them about the abuse?
No, not that, as far as I can tell, he's not told. He didn't tell anyone about the abuse during this incident.
Yeah, I would chalk it up to.
It sounds like he had a panic attack.
Yeah.
Some kind of anxiety.
It sounds like he had a really intense panic attack, and it caused a hallucination of some sort. Mm-hmm. Which panic attacks can be so extreme that they distort reality
and cause scratches. Didn't he? Oh, he did. He scratch himself during.
He probably hurt himself.
Well, just hold on, because we're just getting.
Okay.
We're just getting started. Okay. So for some reason, they don't kick him out. And instead, they have dinner. And you can imagine the silent looks between Bob and Jenny.
They're like,
what are we? We told him he can stay the rest of the week. Jesus Christ. What were we thinking? Actually, I think he has to go down back on Tuesday or Monday night, something like this. Still, they're going to spend a long weekend with this, again, current convict who now is telling them crazy stuff just happened to him in their bathroom upstairs. Yeah. So after dinner, Bob takes Dawn into the living room. I guess, I don't know, have cigars and a brandy snifter. I'm not sure.
Of course,
but I imagine Jeannie in the kitchen probably cleaning up. It's 1983. This was still what happened. Oh. And soon, Don's would say that the air around him, quote, vibrated and became icy cold. So a little bit like but different, not a vacuum. It's like the air is vibrating. Then there's a sudden loud noise. And the two men are just like, what the hell was that? With it, seconds later, the two men looked at the walls and they saw moisture, water, almost sort of oozing through the walls and dribbling down in drops along the walls. Bob looked at Don and he said Don's eyes were vacant, like he'd kind of fallen into a trance almost. And so Bob is getting freaked out. And he shouts at Jeannie and he says, are you running any water? There's water on the walls. Are you doing something with the water? She yells back, no, I'm not. Shut the hell up. I'm assuming she did that. She's from Pennsylvania, but I gave her an accent. It's the only one I do. Bob said, get in here. You need to see this. So Jeannie comes in. I'm going to pronounce her name at least four different ways.
Okay. By the
way. is it Jeannie, you think, or Jenny?
I thought it was Jenny. How do you say
it? J-E-A-N-N-I-E.
Jeannie.
I knew that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Jenny is just J-E-N-N-Y.
The A threw me. So Jeannie comes in and she sees the water dripping on the wall. Then water started coming down in big old drops from the ceiling.
Is this a single-story house?
This is a two-story house. Remember, he was in the bathroom upstairs.
I didn't remember. That's why I asked.
Yeah. It's a two-story house.
I would immediately go upstairs and check and see if
there was a leak.
Dawn
yes.
left the
still,
water on.
Still, miraculously, inside the Kiefer's house, in the living room, nowhere else, in the living room, it's raining. And
what?
Dawn, their guest, is in a trance. Remember, he's also the one who was, did I mention he's a convict and had that weird episode upstairs?
Well, yes.
I'm a little prejudiced against convicts.
You
know
clearly.
Why? Because they're criminals. So Jeannie goes and she fetches some pots and pans and she puts them under the leaks. Very smart of her.
Mm-hmm.
Bob, meanwhile, called the landlord. He's a man with a fantastic name. We don't get a lot of great names here in America. They're usually other countries. This guy's name is Ron Van Wy. It's spelled W-H-Y.
Ron Van Wy.
Ron Van Wy. That's a fantastic name.
That's a pretty cool name.
I applaud Ron for having a great name. Bob wouldn't tell Ron what's going on. He just says, get your butt over here. We've got a problem. So Ron says, okay, fine. I'll come over. Ron comes over. I'm presumably they did probably go upstairs.
Yeah.
And it was not. But Ron arrives and he walks into.
What did Ron do?
Wanna-wived.
Wanna-wived.
Are you supposed to say some other way? Wanna-wived. And he walks into this Wayne storm. See, now I'm going to just be a dick about it. He walks into a rainstorm. And his first thought, of course, is naturally enough, hey, there must be some kind of leak.
Yeah.
It's above us. So he remembers, though, at that point, because wait a second, that can't be true. There are no pipes in this part of the house. All of the plumbing is in the back of the house. The house is probably built in the 50s or 60s. They were very
careful. But water travels. It doesn't have to be coming straight out
it
of the
does.
Pipe.
But he's still a little bit wigged out now because there's not an obvious means for that leak. Doesn't matter, though. Still, Bob and Ron go upstairs and they check on the upstairs bathroom and they find nothing there.
Yeah.
No leak. Not even a crazy old man with a crown on.
Wow.
They find nothing at all. So I don't know if that means that Bob and his wife didn't check until the landlord came over. Because if
Well, I'm sure he wanted to double check. Even if they said they
probably
checked, he's still going to go check because it's his property. But I'd go turn off the main.
I know. The main water. I know. Well, they don't find anything in the bathroom. And I don't think the bathroom was right above them either. Like I said, the plumbing was in the back. The living room was in the front of the house.
Yeah.
So this is really weird. Ron's a little wigged out. He doesn't know what's happening. There just wasn't anything that he can think of that would cause this leak. And especially it's oozing from the walls and sort of raining down from all across the ceiling. It's very strange. It doesn't make any sense. Then Ron looks at the wall and he notices that some of the drops are actually, they're not all moving downward. Some were going sideways, horizontally along the wall. Others, he looks down, are coming up. They're migrating up from the base, from the floor up the base of the wall, moving up the wall, which seems to him to defy how water should be behaving.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost like the moisture is going from all different directions.
Yeah.
Everything on the ceiling, of course, is coming down, but along the wall, it's weird. It's seeping in weird directions. So it just gets weirder and weirder. Someone then notices that when a drop hit them, a drop from the ceiling, it didn't seem pure. It'd leave kind of an oily smudge on their clothing or their skin. So it's like, is this even regular water?
Right.
What's going on? He's his own to deal. Remember, he's the landlord. So he calls two people. He calls his wife, Romaine, spelled R-O-M-A-Y-N-E. Fabulous name also. Romaine Van Wy. Great name.
That's a good name.
And he calls a cop. The police officer, I don't know if he knew him, but he calls a man named John Baljon. I don't know.
John Baljon.
Or Baljon. It's a weird, the last name.
Is he from Les Miserables?
He might be from Les Mis. He might be a 1780s Baljon. French police officer. He called John Baljon, B-A-U-J-A-N. Help me out. How would you pronounce that? B-A-U-J-A-N.
Baljon.
Bojan? I'm going to go with Bojan.
John Baljon.
John Baljon, sure. And maybe he knew him, I guess, because he says, yeah, I'll be right over. Which seems a little weird because it's like, it's raining inside my house. Can you come over and help me? And the guy says, it's a very small town, so it's possible that he's a friend of his. So the officer Baljon comes over and he comes with his partner, Richard Wolbert. And he tells Richard, his friends call him Dick obviously. Yeah. He tells him, like, wait in the car. I'll go see if there's anything worth, you know, wasting our time or not. So John Baljon goes in. I'm just calling him John. Officer John. Officer John goes in, and he is freaked the hell out. He sees the water. He sees it raining. He sees the water moving along sideways on the wall. It's not happening in the room, apparently. So I don't know if he looked at Don in the trance, but I think Don is still in the trance, probably huddled in the corner or sitting on the sofa or something like that. And he goes back to the car, to the squad car, and he tells Wolbert, he goes, you need to come in here and see this. And Wolbert goes, what? What are we going to this house for? He goes, just come in here and see this, which seems to be a theme. No one wants to tell, just to explain, hey, it's raining inside the house. Come in. But he doesn't. He just says, trust me, go walk into the house. So Wolbert did. Wolbert? He did. These are terrible. Except for Ron Van Wy, I'm not a big fan of all these. Oh, Don Decker's a pretty easy name.
Don Decker's
not going to lie about that. So Wolbert goes inside, and two steps in, he feels a drop hit him on the face.
Yeah.
He looks up. It's raining from the ceiling. He looks at the wall, same thing. He sees all these walls. Again, they're moving across, and they apparently it's just in that room. And while he's standing there, across from his partner, he sees a big drop move between them into another room. Now, I don't know how, that's how I read it described. I don't know how to read that as did it move through the air? Mm-hmm. The way you read it, the way it's described, it appears that it moved through the air horizontally between he and his partner and then goes into a different room. They checked the adjoining rooms though, and it was not raining there, just in the living room at this point. So that's weird. Don, meanwhile, is sitting in his trance-like little state, vegetating.
I'd move him outside and see what happens.
I know, yeah. So Officer John is totally baffled. So is Officer Dick. Pretty quickly, they decide, though, that they think Don is the cause of this, probably because he's an inmate. And maybe he's possessed by something. That's kind of their go-to.
Right.
Their go-to. It's going to be everyone's go-to. Mm-hmm. It's demonic possession. Boom. Because we know the devil wants to make it rain inside homes.
No, it would be blood then.
Pardon?
It would be blood. It would be raining blood.
You would think so.
If it was demonic.
Maybe it's some cheap low-rent demon then. I don't know. Couldn't conjure up blood. I don't know. He and Wolbert are a little bit freaked out, though. They say, we need to go get our chief. This is above our pay grade.
Yeah.
So they leave. And here it gets a little confusing in the recountings I've read. I'm not clear if this maybe even was the second day, and it's not clear. It could have been that same night. It could have been the next day. I don't know.
Okay.
Because it seems like hours later they come with their chief. And if that was the first night, that seems like it would have been really late. None of these stories are terribly well told, which is not abnormal for these kind of retellings. But so it's not clear. This could have been the second day now. And even the police being there could have been the second day. But it seems like it was that the police are there that night.
Yeah.
But they leave. Maybe they may not return to the next day. What happens, though, is that Don and the Kiefers, Bob and Jeannie, are hungry, which doesn't make a lot of sense because they just had dinner.
Yeah.
I know. So that's one of the things that makes me think it may be the next day.
Yeah.
It's like they haven't eaten. So what they do, they decide they're going to go to a pizzeria just down the street, and it's owned by a woman named Pan.
But wait, in the meantime, it's still raining in their living room?
It's still raining in the living room.
Okay.
And they leave Ron and Romaine, the landlord couple, they're the house.
Uh-huh.
The other three go down the street to get some pizza.
Naturally.
Have some dinner or some lunch. I don't know.
You don't know.
And that pizzeria is owned by a woman named Pam Scrofano.
Scrofano.
Some versions also say that Pam Scrofano had already been to the house and seen the mystery rain. If that's true, which is not impossible, she could have been a friend of theirs. Again, she lives down the street. They probably go to her pizzeria all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they said, oh my God, Pam, get over here. You can't believe this. So I don't know. She may have, she may not. It seems from most of the readings, it seems like not. And again, it's also weird that they hadn't eaten. So maybe it's the next day. I don't know. Ron and Romaine stayed behind. And they said that not long after Don and the Kiefers left,
it stopped.
It stopped raining.
Wow.
Bring them back one at a time.
Yeah, I know.
And
I know.
See what
Let's
happens.
Do this scientifically, mm-hmm. like an episode of Twilight Zone.
Yes.
Put your hand in the propeller. That's an old Twilight Zone.
Yeah.
So, like Officer John, the couple began to think Don was the culprit, or at least it was one of the three, which is obvious. But I think their suspicions were mainly on Don. So, meanwhile, we're back at the pizzeria. Don, Bob, and Jeannie get there. Pam Scrofano she knows about this. They tell her about this, and she is just all in on Don Decker. She immediately assumes that he's possessed by the devil.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
She agreed that that Don looked like he was in some kind of a trance. Like he couldn't even, when she's talking to him, he's like he doesn't know she's there. And so she urged the Kiefers to call a priest, which is what you do when you have a case of demonic possession.
Absolutely.
That's the go-to, that's the expert.
Mm-hmm.
And then, as if on cue, inside of Pam's pizzeria, what starts to happen?
Starts raining.
It starts to rain in a second location.
Oh, my God.
Don, or someone or something, is making it rain indoors. So naturally, what does Pam do? She goes to the cash register because that's where she keeps her crucifix.
Oh, naturally.
She grabs a crucifix. She comes back over to Don, and she puts it on him. Presumably, she put it on his arm or something like that, right? When she put it against Don's skin, he said, hey, take it off. It's burning me. She said,
God.
Go to hell. I'm going to leave it on. It's good for you. It's the power of Jesus. And so she left it on. And after a minute or two, the crucifix turned black. I don't know what color it was beforehand. Let's say silver. I'm not sure. Pewter?
Gold?
I don't think it was gold. They would have said so.
Dark brown.
Red. A red crucifix. So the crucifix turned black, which to her was pretty freaky. Now, even Dom begins to think, you know what? Maybe it is me. Maybe something's going on with me.
Maybe I am the devil.
He's gone like, I'm two for two.
Yeah.
This is weird. This is coming with me. It's following me. When he and the Kiefers then left, the rain stopped in the pizzeria.
What?
And so Don would later say, quote, that made me more sure that I had something to do with it because it was following me. And it didn't start raining in the house until I got there. They were living there and nothing ever happened. And that's when I started realizing that it was me, end quote. Scrofano, as you know, agreed. She would later say, quote, you looked at Donnie, and he was like in a trance. He would look at you, but you know nothing, you were there.
What?
What the fuck?
You know nothing, you were there.
That's either a misquote by me or she's lame. It's me.
Okay.
He would look at you, but not knowing you were there.
Got it.
I'm sorry, Pam. I said to Jeannie, he's got to be possessed. We're sitting there. A couple of seconds later, there's water all over the pizzeria, too. I've never seen anything like that happen, end quote. That was Pam. She did recount also putting the crucifix on Don's skin, and she said how it appeared to burn him. Quote, there's no way that anybody could have played a joke like that. This was real. Donnie was doing it himself. He was doing it without realizing he was doing it, end quote. So Donnie's possessed. Donnie doesn't know it. It's not Donnie's fault. Satan's fault. And he's causing it to rain wherever Don goes.
Okay.
Once back at home in the house on Ann Street, Romaine Van Wy starts taking her shots at Don. She's getting pissed. She thinks this is not on the up and up. He's doing something. She accuses him of causing this rain intentionally.
Yeah.
Okay. Not possession. It's you, Don. Jenny, whose alt name is also Jeannie, as we know. Jeannie. See, that's a nice recovery. That wasn't bad.
That was good, yeah.
Jeannie joins in, and the two women start berating them. I imagine the two men are like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Ladies, give the guy a break.
He might be possessed. You should chill out.
He's possessed, but stop. Stop yelling at him. What if he is? What if it's the devil?
Watch out. He turned a crucifix black.
Yes, he did. So they're berating him, demanding that he stop all this nonsense, convinced he was doing it intentionally. But all of a sudden, as if in answer to their yelling, the pots and pans that are in the cabinet in the kitchen right next in the next room start rattling and shaking and making loud noises.
That seems very intentional and misogynistic. You want to shake the pots and pans at the ladies?
Yeah, that does seem a little bit. It's true. But you know what happened next? Lights went out. Power goes out. I don't know what time it is because, again, no one who tells a story is good at indicating the time. But so I don't know if I assume there is daylight, though, because they go into the kitchen to see what the hell's going on with the pots and pans. And when they're in there, Donnie comes with them. There's five people. Wait, right? Five people in there now. And Donnie all of a sudden lifts up from the ground. Donnie is now levitating.
Oh, goodness.
He floats in the air a little bit as his upper body kind of twists. And then someone would later say, it doesn't say which witness, it says a witness would later say that they saw a kind of greenish aura around him while he was floating. He floats for a few seconds and then he cries out and his body just flies across the room as if he's been flung by some external source and slams into a corner of a kitchen. He just kind of slumps down and he sits there. He would say, later say Donnie, but they say that it felt like a force, like a bunch of hands all over his body suddenly pushed him across the kitchen.
I think it's his evil grandfather.
Ooh, yeah. He did have a crown. Mm-hmm. When the group went to help Donnie up, they saw more scratches.
Oh.
Now the scratches were in the shape of a cross on his inner elbow. Which if you're paying attention to possession stories, it's not uncommon.
I've seen the Conjuring movies, so.
This is scratches, not a burn from the crucifix.
No, that was a scratch. Okay. I'll talk about the burn in a bit. And by the way, there's another one coming. So Romaine was now with Pam. I don't know how. I don't know if they called her over or maybe she went to the pizzeria. I'm not sure. But Pam is, and she's telling Pam what's going on, and Pam, of course, is saying, this is the devil. It's the work of the devil. So Jeannie goes and gets her Bible, and she starts reading passages to Don in, I guess, sort of like a half-assed amateur exorcism. I don't think she knows the rules of exorcism, because you can't just read any random passage of the Bible.
She just flips to John 3:16 and starts reading.
I always hear a lot about that. Let me just read that. So what happens is the rain begins to focus on her and her alone.
What?
So you're messing with some shit now, Jeannie. All right?
I think Dawn is like just a really good magician.
And you know what? So it's a few hours later. So again, this for sure is the second day. It must be Saturday now. And Officer John and Officer Dick come back and they have their chief of police in tow, Gary Roberts. We'll call him Gary.
Chief Gary.
Some people call him Gary Bear, but we're not going to do that. He is described as a quote, hardened skeptic. Because anytime someone says this is bullshit, they're always described as a hardened skeptic, whether they are or not.
Right.
So apparently That applies to anyone who calls bullshit on something. Because Gary Roberts called bullshit on this immediately. He was kind of a no-nonsense guy. And he says, I don't know what this bullshit is. Yeah, I do see the indoor rain. I'm not going to deny that. And it does seem a little weird. But this is a plumbing situation. This is not a police situation.
Right.
This is, let them worry about their plumbing problem. You guys need to leave.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be here. You never responded. In fact, don't write a report about this. Don't talk about this. The lore makes that sound pretty insidious. So maybe it was. Maybe it was kind of cover-uppy. It also may have been cover-uppy. Just to avoid embarrassment from these two officers who were there and going, oh my God, it's Satan. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. But he said, I'm done. You're leave. Don't come back here for this again. Okay.
He's not wrong.
He's not. But he orders the police to go. He leaves and they leave too. And the next day, though, despite these orders, Officer John and Officer Dick came back. In fact, they brought two more cops with them.
Wow.
A guy named Bill Davies and a guy named John Rundle. They had a little test in mind. They thought, let's test this guy, this apparent rainmaker, Don Decker. So they placed a paper bag over his head because one of them thinks, hey, maybe he's causing this by spitting. Which would be a copious amount of saliva.
Wow. So, and they'd see it.
You'd think. But maybe like, hey, what's that over there? I don't know if that was the theory. But they said, well, you know what? We'll put a bag over his head and then he can't spit. And so they did. And they stood there seeing if it's going to continue to rain, I guess. And Bill Davies happens to have a little gold crucifix on him.
Okay.
I'm assuming that the other two cops said, you're going to see rain. This is weird. We're pretty sure this is demonic possession. That's our official police standpoint on this. Mm-hmm. And so he brought his little gold crucifix, or maybe he had it with him all the time. I don't know.
It's possible.
It's possible. And he puts it in Don's hand. Don, you know, grabs it, holds it, and immediately he cries out, oh my God, it burns, and he tosses it to the ground. Then the rain started up again, despite the paper bag on his head. The other cop there, John Rundle, he claimed that he saw Don then lift off the ground and again, like it was in the kitchen the day before, be hurled across the room, quote, with the force of a bus, end quote, which is
damn
pretty forceful.
It is.
So he slams into the wall, apparently, I don't know, and they rush over to pick up Don, and they pull the paper bag off of his head, and what do you think was there? Three more scratches on Don's neck. Deep, almost claw mark type scratches, and they were dribbling blood.
Ooh.
Oh, goodness.
Mm, mm,
ouchie.
Mm. So at this point, all four cops are completely mystified, and they remain so. They could never think of anything that could explain what they had witnessed. They eventually leave. Everybody's saying you got to get a priest. So
you've got to.
They start calling around all over town.
What do you mean?
They start calling for priest. We need an exorcist. Oh, stat.
I know. I understand. ASAP. That, but Jeannie can't just call her priest. She's got one.
They call the Catholic priest. The Catholic priest politely said, uh-uh.
Yeah, I was
I'm not
say.
Getting involved. Catholic Church has fairly strict rules of when you can and can't do that. Yeah. Not every priest can go do an exorcism is despite what you see on anything by James Wan.
They
it's very
still
rare.
They can come and bless the house.
Maybe they toss
some holy water around.
That's just going to make it wetter. I don't know if that's
no,
a good call.
They, yeah.
Well, like they the called movies. Some other priests. I don't know. I'm going to say Presbyterian, Methodist, whatever. They all
Lutheran.
Said, hard pass. No one will come and exorcise Don for them.
Aww.
Finally, they get an evangelical Christian pastor. This is 1983. That movement's getting pretty big here by this point. And so this evangelical says, yeah, that sounds like fun. I'll do it. Her name is Reverend Johnson. It's apparently a pseudonym because Unsolved Mysteries, they did an episode on this and they called her Reverend Johnson. They said because she didn't want to have her real name used.
Mm.
So I'm not sure why. But she will call her, like Unsolved Mysteries did, Reverend Johnson. So she comes over. It's Sunday, February 27th. And the holy woman begins doing what? She prays with Don. Don's reaction was to go into convulsions, as you do when you're possessed by a demon and someone is praying over you.
Yes.
So his body starts shaking and he just kind of goes into a fetal position as Reverend Johnson is, you know, probably reading John 3:16, I guess.
Yes.
And eventually, though,
that's the only Bible-like thing I know.
It begins Genesis 1:1.
Oh, sorry.
It begins to work eventually because Don would later say that as Johnson prayed, he slowly began to feel just a little more relaxed, a little more peace. He said even the house began to feel a little quieter, a little more peaceful too. After about 1 hour, the rain stopped and Don seemed to wake up from his trance. Now, you're probably, like I am, pretty goddamn impressed by Reverend Johnson. 1 hour? How much more efficient than that than all those Catholic priests with their days and weeks and months of, you know, their rosaries and
She's
their
a
Latin.
Really good reverend.
1 hour. And she got that demon out of there.
Good for
she
her.
Could have been reading the Old Testament part, you know, the genealogy where they say, blah, 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 begat, blah, 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 who begat, blah, 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 and just bore the shit out of Satan and Satan left. That's possible. Or she's just better than those Catholic priests. I don't know. You decide.
Mom.
Decide. Decide. No, we're telling you. Decide right now.
To decide.
Yes.
Do you think she's, who's better? Reverend Catholic. Johnson, 1 hour, our Catholic priest who sometimes get vomit on them and sometimes fall downstairs and die.
Well, I don't think this is a real demonic possession.
You might be surprised. So after this is Sunday, the rain ended. On Monday, Don had to head back to the Monroe County Jail to finish out his sentence. So it's days later. Don is stewing in his cell, and he thinks, you know what? I wish I could make it rain in here. He's bored. I don't know what he is. In just like a few minutes later, all of a sudden, moisture begins oozing along the bottom of the concrete floor of his prison cell.
Wait, he literally wanted this to happen.
He wanted it to happen this time.
The previous several days were so much fun.
Yep.
Jeez.
Well, he's in prison. Distractions are good in prison. So he.
I don't know that I'd want that distraction.
You know who else didn't want that distraction? His cellmate. Cellmate is wigged out. He says, "What's happening?" He was scared. He demanded to be moved out of sharing a cell with Don, who can apparently now at will make it sort of rain. Other inmates thought he was kind of weird. They kind of spooked by him because he'd walk around almost like a badass. Like, hey, I can make it rain, motherfucker.
Right.
I'm going to make it rain. I'm going to make it rain. I'll make it rain.
Fuck with me and I'll make it rain in your cell.
That's kind of what it seems like that. From the description I read, it seems like he's like, kind of thinks, I'm kind of special.
Huh.
And he tells a guard that he can, what he can do, that I can make it rain. I can control water. And the guards see this water in the cell. And they even saw some of it travel up the wall. Again, up the wall like it did before, apparently, allegedly. And some saw like drops of water go up again, fly across the room inside the cell. Most of the guards, though, are like, I still, you're not controlling this, Don. We don't know what that is, but you're not doing this. So Don says, if I wanted to, I can make it rain inside the warden's office right now. And so the guard says, do that. I dare you. And so Dave Keenhold was in his office. He's your warden. I think he's like an acting warden, and he's minding his own business. He's writing up a report on prisoners or something like that. I don't know. It's about 8 p.m. Guard comes into Keenhold's office, and he tells him about this convict they have who says he's a rainmaker. Keenhold looks up at the guard, and the guard looks at Keenhold, and he sees right there, square in the middle of his shirt, a large water spot. About 4 inches high and about 2 inches wide, the middle of his shirt is all wet in this rectangular strip. Hmm. And Keenhold's like, what? I didn't see that. I didn't even notice that. What the hell's going on? How did that happen? So he's a little freaked out. The wardens, I guess the warden's office is like down the corridor because they said they looked outside the office and looked down toward Don's cell. So I'm not sure how big this institution is, this facility, and they said that they saw a big drop of water come toward them through the hall in the air from Don's cell. They're both wigged out. The water came right at it and then smacked Keenhold right in the face and just sort of splashed off.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And Keenhold, again, is the warden. So Keenhold does what? He calls a plumber. He doesn't go straight for the priest yet. The plumber quickly, you know, gets to the cell, and then apparently, almost immediately, he got like pissed off, and he leaves kind of angrily, and he says, quote, don't call me with this kind of stuff, end quote. And he leaves. He storms off in a huff. I don't know. Nothing says why. In fact, it's unclear why. The warden would later say that he thought that he had seen this phenomenon and was freaked out and angry that they called him in for this. There's other interpretations of that. So Kanehole says, okay, evil is loose in my prison. I mean, other than the inmates.
Wait, I think the plumber just thought it was a joke. And you guys are wasting my time.
It's entirely possible. So Kanehole calls the jail's chaplain, the Reverend William Blackburn. I'm assuming Catholic.
It's Blackburn.
Pennsylvania. The priests came and spoke to Don. I'm guessing they didn't go to the cell. They probably went to some kind of, you know, a room, maybe a visitation room, whatever. So they're in this room and the priest is talking to Don. And he found that he's a quiet, mild-mannered sort of guy. He doesn't seem like he's a troublemaker at all. And so, but the priest then accuses Don. He says, you know what? Just tell me, confess. You're doing this. This is some kind of stunt, right? This is you. You're messing with us on some kind of a hoax and you're tricking people, right? He said that Don's demeanor changed pretty quickly and he became a little more aggressive. And then they started noticing an odor, a smell, a very unpleasant smell in the room. He later say that according to, I guess, like doctors and nurses that he knew, it smelled like the smell in hospitals when a patient is dying.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah.
He called the smell, quote, evil and foreboding. Is there really like a smell of death? I mean, not dead things, but something who's like terminal patient? Because I'm not positive that's true.
I think there probably is, but I don't think we can smell it. You know, like how in nursing homes, the cat goes. Oh, yeah.
The cat goes.
The bed of the patient that's going to die next.
Yeah. Yeah. Because he wants to eat his face because cats are just monsters. No, I'm kidding.
So cats can smell the.
Maybe
the imminent death.
Okay.
We can't.
You know maybe. How animals can detect. I've read a thing about dogs that can detect cancer.
Well, this says that the people can smell it, and that like nurses he knew had told him, and I guess he described it and said, "Yeah, that's it. Smell of death." So they smell the smell of death with Don there.
Okay.
He's now not just making rain. He's also creating demonic odors.
Got it.
Well,
death smells.
But he also did say he could make it rain in the warden's office. So
yes.
He is controlling it.
Yeah, it does seem like that. Yeah, for sure. And in the prison, in his prison cell as well.
Right.
So he tells the priest, I can make it rain. And he holds his hand up. He rubs his fingers together. And suddenly, in the room, it begins to mist.
Oh, my God.
Kind of a misty wetness started to invade the room. And Blackburn is impressed. He felt there was evil in the room there. So he started praying for Don. And Don said, knock it off. I don't want you to pray for me. And Blackburn says, too bad. And he kept praying for him. And so he's reading his Bible, praying for Don. And he realizes that despite this mist in the room, the Bible itself is not getting wet. That sounds like the hand of God, if I've ever heard it. The priest was scared, though. He said that later, like, I was praying as much as myself for Don at that point. Mm-hmm. I was pretty nervous. I thought, Satan's in here with me.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going to happen. He's seen The Exorcist. He knows occasionally these people fall downstairs. So not long into the vigil, the rain stopped. Blackburn looked up and he saw Don just seemed more subdued, much more calm. He felt like there was quiet in the room as well. And Don looks at him and thanks him and starts to cry. And they hug. And they, I think they prayed together a little bit.
You know what Don really needs?
What does he need?
More than a priest?
What?
A therapist.
A therapist.
He needs
does.
Friend.
He does need a friend.
He
had a friend. His name was Satan, and he was inside of his body for a while. But
they're not friends.
He was a bad friend.
No, he needs a therapist. He's got to deal with his childhood trauma.
That's true. So whatever had caused the rain, it was gone. Don Decker never made it rain again.
Hmm.
And still hasn't to this
what?
Day. That was it. It was
Don
over.
Decker still alive?
Yes. He was only 21 in 1983 when this happened.
Oh my God.
He's very young.
Ancient now. Just
you're a monster. So, you know, what happened here? You have to reasonably wonder. There are 9 pretty credible witnesses thought they saw something miraculous and weird and unexplainable. Whether it was evil or not or demonic possession, they saw something that was very strange. It was ringing inside homes.
Yes.
In 3 different locations, they saw this weird phenomenon. Even if it's something going on, how is it happening? What was happening?
Well, what's the source of this story?
Hold on.
This is my primary question.
Bill Davies, the cop, he said, quote, I've been a cop for 40 years and I've never seen anything like this, never. There's always an explanation when something happens. If you got to investigate, you come up with something. This is why it happened. For this case, there's no explanation, end quote. Partly, that sounds like a cop who's probably planted evidence. But
yeah.
Also, that sounds like someone who's... These are... This phenomenon are things that people have never seen before. I mean, there's contemporaneous newspaper accounts of this happening. There's these... Many of these witnesses were on Unsolved Mysteries and did talk about their experiences
really?
Firsthand. Yeah.
Okay.
Don was on. I think two of the cops were on. Several of them were on and talking about these
things.
Did
we see Jeannie and Bob?
I don't know if we saw Jeannie and Bob. I haven't seen the episode.
What about Pam?
Pam, probably.
I didn't watch the episode?
No. I don't know how to find old-ass Unsolved Mysteries. Do we have access to that?
It's called YouTube.
This is from,
Unsolved Mysteries, Don Decker episode.
YouTube?
Question mark. Help.
I'm not a big YouTube
yes,
long
you are.
Episodes. I am.
I mean, you're on YouTube all the time.
I'm never on YouTube, but okay. She knows nothing of
you
my
made
life.
That up.
Why would you say that? I can't think of when I was last on YouTube.
But that's where you go find, like, sometimes when I really want to, it's now on Hulu, but I used to really want to watch Kitchen Nightmares. Full episodes would be on YouTube.
You know what? Let me go out, watch YouTube, and we'll redo this episode.
Okay.
Scratch all this. Just delete it.
Well, I'm going to go look at it.
But there's people... Many of them were on YouTube and talked about this. And again, this was covered in the local paper too.
Yeah, they all could be in on it.
Yeah. Okay.
They thought they were gonna get rich.
So the demonic possession is usually trotted out as the primary possibility. One, a paranormal researcher, I'm not gonna say his name, said that he discovered that Don had dabbled in black magic as a child, or at least he had been exposed. He had witnessed black magic as a child. The obvious source of that would have to be Don, of course.
Yeah.
So, but
he
his
played
idea.
With a Ouija board when he was 13.
That's how it starts.
Well,
Carrie.
So
We've
did you, and so
that.
Did I.
Did you
play
well,
Ouija
and so
board?
Did Linda Blair. Of course, played a Ouija board.
Yeah,
who
y'all
didn't
are,
play a Ouija board?
Me, I've never played with a Ouija board.
Only because I couldn't find one.
Me?
Yeah,
we have one.
We absolutely would have been playing a Ouija board with our kids.
Oh yeah, no, we would totally Ouija. We would.
I was born as an anxious person, and I would have gotten scared.
Probably, and we would have done it more. I'm not saying we're not monsters. So the idea is that, hey, did his past finally catch up with him? This black magic, and you know, after his evil granddad died, some people think it's a poltergeist.
Yeah.
If you listen to what the phenomena are, it sounds much more like a poltergeist than does demonic possession. His, you know, traditional demonic possession.
Except traditional poltergeists are explainable.
Well,
this is a little harder to explain than somebody throwing a ball across the room when everybody's backs are turned.
Okay, yeah. This would have to be a major, like you said, Dom's an amazing magician. He'd have to be. I feel like he'd have to be a really good magician to make this happen intentionally. So, but in terms of these being thrown across the room, stuff like that, or at least certainly, yes, rain is different than objects flying across the room, like the normal poltergeist is, but it does kind of fit more that genre than it does demonic possession.
Yes,
he
I agree.
He never
with that.
Said your mother so socks that smell to any priest, as far as I'm aware. So I made that.
But
I
then
clean,
why did
I
they do the
up.
Whole yes. the crucifix burned me and
yeah,
the scratches?
See, I know that's what makes it sound like demonic possession, but we'll talk about that in a second. But the phenomenon of the indoor rain does sound remarkable. Is it that remarkable? A sociologist in New Zealand named Robert Bartholomew wrote about this in, I think it was like 2013, and he investigated it, and he found that though rare, there is a natural phenomenon that could explain exactly what this indoor rain. It's called an ice dam or ice damming. Ice dams occur when there's a lot of snow, so the snow on the roof, right? And there had been snow a couple of weeks or a little bit less before this. There had been a big, big snowstorm in the area. So it's February. It's been cold. We think there was snow on the roof.
Mm-hmm.
And so temperatures are above freezing during the day, you know, and they were here. They're in the mid to upper 30s, and they fall back below freezing during the night, which they did here at this time. Warm air then goes up into the attic where, you know, heat rises, whatever. And what happens is that it melts some of the snow on the roof above it. And then the temperatures at night drop back down. And it's kind of like a sheet of ice. And what it does is that ice traps water, still unfrozen water, beneath it and forces it down. And it forces it down into the house. And it causes leaking throughout the house. So this is a little bit, it seems, but it's not common, but it's a known phenomenon. It's happened many times.
Okay.
Yes.
But Don can control that and make it happen by saying he's going to make it happen.
Yeah.
And it only happens where Don is.
Let's give Robert Bartholomew
the pizza place.
Give him a little more time mm-hmm. here. But yeah, I don't disagree with you. Because he had some other things that he thought were a little bit weak in the story. For one, no one ever called the local newspapers a local news and said, oh my God, this crazy right. stuff is happening around. No one called the local. I mean, right? If there was this remarkable phenomenon, this unexplained phenomenon happening in your house, no one's going to call the news. Not even Pam, who you knew would have loved to shout out about a pizzeria.
Yeah.
I'm not calling the news.
I think a lot of people would. I think Pam most people would.
People would be afraid.
Now people come when I eat pizza and see it rain inside. I would be at that pizza place that day.
If they're thinking it's demonic possession, I think people would be afraid.
Well, Robert Bartholomew found that odd. But you know what's far, far more remarkable? During 3 days, the rain is going on, the water is on the walls for hour after hour after hour. No one, never, not once, picked up a camera or a video recorder and took any footage or a snapped picture of this phenomenon ever.
It was 1983.
Everybody has a camera. Probably everybody has a camcorder. In 1983, everybody has a camera. A lot of people had camcorders. They're extremely common by this point. They were.
Little disposable ones?
Are you kidding me, Carrie?
Cameras? People probably, I'm sure somebody had a camera, but I don't think camcorders were that.
They are very common
in 1983.
100%. No doubt whatsoever.
I don't know what a camcorder
is. You have a weird memory of things like that.
Did you have
sometimes.
One? We didn't get a camcorder until 1994.
My dad did. She knows the year she got a camcorder. Are you talking about us? Your family had a camcorder. I'll guarantee
your dad
you they
didn't
did.
Have a camera?
Ask your sister.
No.
I'll bet you $1,000 you did.
He had a camera.
I bet you $10 billion.
Not a camcorder. Didn't have a video.
Whatever.
Like, every old dad had like a big old camcorder that he took Christmas videos on.
He didn't. Well, that wouldn't have been a camcorder. That would have been a movie film thing.
That's why you're misremembering society, because everybody else but you had camcorders. They were super common.
I wasn't there.
100% positive they were. There's no question whatsoever. They were very, very common. Camcorders were very, very common. Okay. Cameras were ubiquitous. Every house had a camera. Are you really going to argue that? This is weird. Mom. That's weird. She does this once in a while. She's like, no, I'm going to be a contrarian. I'm going to argue the sky's blue.
Honestly, I do it too. I do it too.
Okay.
Just decide I'm going to be against whoever I'm talking to.
I'm not claiming to know what everybody had, but you're telling me that I had things that I didn't have.
Your family didn't have a camera. I know for a fact they did. I've seen it.
I didn't say my family didn't have a camera.
That's what I'm saying now. A camera.
Yeah, my dad
got it.
Maybe had a camera.
No, I know for a fact because I've seen it. Canon. Okay, never mind. Drop it.
I wasn't there.
Everybody had a camera. A lot of people had camcorders during this entire time. By the way, the whole town knows about this is going on. And no one never took a picture or took video of this phenomenon. That's not just weird. That's to Robert Bartholomew. That's incredibly suspicious.
It happens all the time in these stories.
Yeah, I know. And that's a red flag for a story like this. So Robert Bartholomew took that as that just doesn't make any sense. He wrote, "It's beyond belief that these events were as dramatic as they claimed, and no one snapped pictures." So that end quote. That may be the weirdest part of this case. But there still seem to be some amazing facets of this case that are left unexplained. Like, did ice damming explain the apparent rain in all three locations? Although it doesn't sound like it rained in the cell. It sounds like there was some mistiness in the room. Mm-hmm. It's not clear there was the same level of quote-unquote rain as there was in the Kiefer's house or the pizzeria. I'm not clear. Still, it's still amazing how it did move and seem to. Would ice damming stop and start with the presence of Don Decker? That doesn't seem reasonable. How did Don levitate and fly through the air like that? Bartholomew doesn't really offer any kind of points on these. What?
I just have a little bit of news for you.
What's that?
The camcorder.
Oh my God.
First came to the market in May of 1983.
Uh huh.
A year later, Kodak introduced the 8mm format in 1985.
Okay, Carrie, let's drop camcorders because
I'm
just
telling you, a camcorder cost over $1,000.
They're expensive, but okay.
So every family did not have a $1,000 camcorder.
You're right. No one had a camcorder. I know I'm right. Everyone had a camera. and no one took a picture of the rain on the wall. In fact, his Unsolved Mysteries had to recreate it because there was no visual evidence whatsoever of this case.
Yes, in the 80s, that is quite odd.
That's very odd. So otherwise, Bartholomew just would say, you know, I can't really explain everything else. He said, quote, human perception is notoriously unreliable, even under ideal conditions. Stress can alter perceptions, and it is difficult to imagine few events more stressful than believing you are in the presence of a man who is possessed by demonic forces, end quote. So he's essentially saying people saw what they wanted to see, kind of, which in this case, when they're told, hey, it's going to rain. You're going to see rain inside the room. And when you know, the pizzeria, I don't know. I can't explain that. The, the mist inside the room with the priest, I don't know. That's weird, too.
I would expect Police Chief Gary to walk in and say, what the fuck are you guys talking about? Yeah. There's no rain in here.
It and also, like, okay, you can add some other holes in the story. Like, did he really levitate and was pushed to the air, or did he jump? I mean, that's fairly obvious.
Did he jump and fall back?
Yeah. If you're hit by something with the force of a bus, guess what happens? You die. But if you fling yourself across the room, you're okay. And like Carrie said, did the plumber walk in there and was amazed by this phenomena, or do you think, you guys are idiots? Don't waste my time on this nonsense, because he saw it was an obvious hoax for some reason. I don't know what he saw that others could not identify, but he was a plumber.
Okay.
Well, this is the area of expertise. So maybe.
Got it.
And here's something that strikes me. Which came first, the moisture or Don's, you know, trance-like state and seeming possessed and being burned by crucifixes? The moisture came first. Mm-hmm. So Don sees this moisture star, this water oozing from the walls and then dropping from the ceiling. And then Don starts acting a little bit weird. So you can make the case that Don saw this weird thing happening. Let's say it's due to ice damming inside the Kiefer household, and he took advantage of it. He began to kind of play pretend. So, I mean, that's not hard. You can fake a trance. You can fake flying across a room. You can fake convulsions. You can even fake a crucifix burn. No one, from what I read, said anything about they saw any burns on Don's in the two instances where the crucifix allegedly burned him. They just said Don said, oh my God, that burns.
Yeah.
You'd see a burn, you would think.
Yeah. I think it's possible that Don was having some sort of mental health crisis.
It's possible.
And understandably so. I don't think he was faking anything.
Yeah. Well, he does kind of gild the lily later on, though, doesn't he, with the stories of black magic? That's a red flag. This is during the Satanic Panic. I don't know where he said that.
Yeah.
He said that before 93. That was when the Unsolved Mysteries episode aired. Presumably he told Unsolved Mysteries that.
Maybe. I don't know where that came from.
Because I didn't YouTube it. She's still pissed about that. And
no, but it's possible it didn't come from him.
It for sure came from him.
Could be. It's possible someone else made it up.
Yeah. Well, that paranormal investigator story. I guess you're right. I find that hard to believe, though. Either way, it's a red flag because it didn't happen. There was no black magic. That all turned out. It was part of the Satanic Panic. It never happened, and that makes you a little suspicious when you say something happened. That's one of those sort of an add-on to this mysterious event. When it's a thing, that add-on is something we know almost certainly didn't happen. So, who knows? We only have Don's word that he was molested. We don't know. We don't know, because that seemed to be the cause of what that, but is he applying a cause for something? Again, he's saying these things.
Yeah, that's true.
From what I can tell, the molestation charge wasn't made until the Unsolved Mysteries. I may be wrong on that, but that was 93. That was also during the height of the molestation panic, the moral panic that engulfed the country in the 80s and 90s. So it's possible he was providing a reason for this phenomenon that happened to him. Let's remember the guy was a criminal.
Oh, Jesus. Lord, he broke into some houses. He's not a murderer.
No, he's not.
Yeah.
But hold on.
There's levels.
Oh, wait.
You should probably stop that.
Okay, sorry. I rescind this.
So who knows why? If he did do this, and I'm not saying he did, but if he did kind of, you know, exaggerate or make it up or just take advantage of this weird thing happening inside his friend's house, you know, attention, sympathy, maybe he even thought, hey, I'm on furlough. Maybe if I say this crazy stuff's happening, I can ride the furlough a little longer. Who knows? It gets, or at the very least, get some attention and get some sympathy. Or maybe he was having some kind of a breakdown, mm-hmm. and he really believed these things were happening to him. And there is this weird core to the story that is still there, and it's very hard to explain in its entirety. So even if Don was hoaxing it somehow, hey, dude, tell us how you did it.
Yeah.
Because I'm pretty impressed. So, wrapping it up, the Kiefers lived in that rented house on Ann Street for 2 more years, and they said they were never able to get the stains from the water off the walls.
Yeah.
And eventually the house was demolished. Not for anything, it was an old house.
Yeah.
Don got out of prison, found work as a cook after being released, and you hear very little of him until he was interviewed by Unsolved Mysteries for a segment that aired on February 10th, 1993. I don't know if he was on it, but a sci-fi show called Paranormal Witness also did the story in 2011. Again, I don't know if Don was on that or not. But you hear about Don again in October 2012 when he was arrested for arson.
Uh-oh.
He was hired by the owner of Dana's Restaurant and Tavern in Toby Hanna, Pennsylvania. A great name also.
Toby Hanna.
And he said, "Will you burn down my restaurant for insurance money?" And Don's answer was, "I will." And he did. And so he lit the restaurant on fire. He was caught and later released on bail pending trial. And I can only assume that he figured, you know what? If the fire got out of hand, I'll just make it rain and put it out.
Maybe.
Because he had that power. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I haven't been able to find out what happened. Like, did he go to jail for that? I don't know. But not a great guy.
Still not a murderer.
You're right. Not a murderer. That's a low hurdle.
You made me think he was going to murder someone.
I did, didn't I? It was just arson.
It was just arson.
Mild case of arson.
Everybody likes a little fire.
So that's the Don Decker story. I thought highlit by Carrie's extreme reaction to my camera and camcorder thing, which she proved right about the camcorder, but way off about cameras. So we're 50-50.
Okay.
What do you think?
I think it is silly.
I mean, there really are. I think
it never happened.
Well, if it didn't happen, that's a possibility. That's always a possibility.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
In these kind of cases, it means that there was a little bit of a mass hysteria. Yeah. You can tell the ice dam and the key. If it just happened in the Kiefer house and it was an ice dam happened, no one knew the hell that was, and they freaked out, that's fine. But then he goes to the pizzeria. What happened to the pizzeria? Did they make it up that there was, did someone spill a pitcher of water and go, "Oh my God, Don did that"?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know how, you don't have a lot of people, witnesses, you know, from the pizzeria saying, "Yeah, no, it was raining from the ceiling. Swear to God." I don't know. And in terms of the jail, you have a couple guards, you have his co-cellmate, you have a priest. All said they saw some amazing, weird, unexplainable things in the original case. They're all going to be localized ice damming that seems to follow him. Right. That seems odd.
That doesn't make any sense.
The Kiefers, yes. Very explainable. Probably is the right answer.
Yes.
The other stuff, I don't see how.
But see, I would want to know, okay, so was there water up in the attic too and on the second story? So it has to go through a lot of walls.
Yes, it does.
To make it to the bottom floor.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
And I want to know if...
It could have been I don't know what the shape of the house is like. Like, was there nothing above that living room? Because the second story was in the back, maybe? I don't know. The house is demolished. I couldn't streetscape it. But it could have been built in a way where there was a roof above them, but it wasn't. But there was a second story, you know, in the back of the house.
But there's going to be water in the attic then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I'm sure they didn't check the attic.
Yeah.
Why would you? They were checking any kind of plumbing. They didn't check the attic. They weren't checking for ice damming. That was the theory.
No, but I would be checking everything to see where the water's coming from.
The attic?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if they did.
I don't. If it's a roof leak, that's where it's going to be coming from.
I suppose. Yeah. Doesn't seem like they did. At least if they did, no one wrote about it.
I think maybe once they decided that this was paranormal in some way, they're not going to want to find a logical reason. Probably. So with the Kiefer house, there probably is some logical explanation. Ice dam, whatever it may be, but that's not a fun story. Yeah. And then the pizzeria and the jail are probably just, I don't know.
You'd have to almost argue mass hysteria at that point, or some form of, like Robert Bartholomew said, people see what they want to see, and that's true.
Yeah.
But that's
weird.
Rain?
It is weird.
Especially like the like I said, yeah. Gary, the police chief, he'd go in there and say...
Gary wasn't involved except for the Kiefers.
Yeah.
He was never involved at the pizzeria, and he had nothing to do with the jail.
Was he on the show?
I'm sure he wasn't.
Yeah.
He thought it was all nonsense.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't even have to YouTube to know that. I'm sure he was not on the yeah. show.
So it would be interesting to see what he said.
Yeah. Yeah. Did he see anything? Did he really see it yeah. raining? Did he really see water?
Well, again, on
the Kiefers, though, that water is explicable.
Yeah.
What's his name? I can find him.
Gary Roberts?
Yeah.
Good luck.
Oh, God.
Gary. Oh, shit. 4 billion returns. Yes.
He could be dead because he was probably a little bit older.
He could be dead.
He could be dead, yeah. Yeah. He was the chief. Chief mm-hmm. Gary, they call him. Chief Gare. Gare Bear. So that's the story of Don Decker, Rainmaker. I hope you enjoyed it. I can't completely explain it. I don't know.
I don't think it was Satan.
5%.
Maybe it was a mix of...
Satan and
a mental health crisis.
Maybe
that was happening to an opportunist mm-hmm. and found mm-hmm. something to make yeah. something of himself.
Yeah. Yeah. And he wrote it and he went with it when, you know, he knows every, this is 1983. Everybody's seen The Exorcist. So he knows, oh, crucifix burns me. Cause I'm going with, everybody says yeah. I'm demonically possessed. I'm going to, you know,
yeah, but this is where, did anybody write a book? Did anybody go on Oprah or the
Oprah? Yeah. Phil, you know, that Donahue is frankly or... the surprising. This wasn't on Oprah.
Exactly.
She puts a lot of bullshit on her show. It's 94% bullshit, but, and 6% nonsense.
I mean, did anybody try to capitalize on it as well? Because usually when you make up stories like this.
Yes, yes. But this is a very small story. It had like a little bit of coverage in the local papers, and that's really about it. And it was 10 years later when Unsolved Mysteries did. Remember, but they only did a 15-minute segment.
Yeah. Right.
It wasn't that big a deal. So it never became a big deal.
Does Unsolved Mysteries pay?
Probably.
I'm sure they do.
I'd be shocked if they didn't.
I got an unsolved mystery.
Do you do? Oh, Carrie, we should tell you this, listeners. Carrie, tell them your unsolved mystery. We may have a ghost in the house.
Well, we've been joking forever about Penelope.
Yeah.
But
Penelope, for the listeners, Penelope is a ghost we made up.
In the attic.
In the attic. One of the siblings did.
But she stays in the attic.
Well, because in Aaron and Emma, we have dual masters. So Aaron and Emma shared the upstairs master bedroom. And they have a walk-in closet, and there's one of those teeny tiny little doors.
Attic, like to the attic.
Yeah. Because that's where the furnace and the air conditioning unit is and stuff like that. So they said that's where Penelope lives. So the other day, I was sitting at Dad's desk reading something, and I had set my phone on the corner of his desk, not on the edge, a little bit, probably an inch and a half-ish inside his desk. And it's in my eyesight, and I'm just sitting there minding my own business, and all of a sudden it flings off the desk, lands on the floor, on the carpet, like, and like
6 feet away,
bounces. It didn't initially land 6 feet away. It a couple feet probably, and then bounced to where it finally rested. Yeah. I left it there. I didn't do anything.
Because I came out and go, well, your phone's on the floor, and she's like. She's a little shook.
I'm like, yeah. And then so I said, okay, is your desk a little bit sloped?
It is sloped, by the way.
Did it slide off? That's weird. And
so we tested it.
I put it back there and it was not in danger of sliding. Nope. I even tried to tap it and it didn't go anywhere.
I texted her to make the buzz. Maybe that was it.
Yeah.
It stayed.
But when you picked it up and handed it to me, I checked my notifications.
Oh, you know what? It was hot to the touch. What can I make stuff up now to get on Unsolved Mysteries?
Okay, got it.
It was hot to the touch and it had a picture of the devil on it.
No,
got it.
Damn it.
I checked my notifications to see, did I get a call or a text that I didn't. Hear, because I would have heard it. It's sitting on a hard surface. Mm-hmm. You hear the vibration, and I didn't have anything.
Wow.
So, but then we tested it. We had Dad text it a couple times, and it didn't budge.
Freaky.
I think that is a ghost.
It is weird. It is weird.
I think that's
pretty
easily confirmable a ghost.
I don't think there's a question.
Because
that's
also,
odd.
If it's just going to slip off, it's going to slip off and go straight down.
Boom. Why would it fly?
Not on... out. Yeah.
Do you hear the fear in her voice? Because I hear the fear in her voice.
Well, this is like not the first thing that's happened that's totally unexplained, but.
This is sometimes a weird house.
No, this is the first thing in this house that's ever happened to me.
It is weird. It's weird. I don't know what it was. I'm going to go with air pressure differential.
I told Erin, she goes, of course it's got to be. There's literally no other explanation.
You stupid woman. She was unimpressed. Okay, well, that is the story of Don Decker Rainmaker and of Carrie haunted by a ghost story. Kind of a twofer. You got an extra one there, listeners. We hope you enjoyed it. Until next week.
Wait, I'm going to build an altar to Penelope. And she's going to get here. She's going to get some gifts.
Okay, well, we'll do that. We'll get right on that. Bye, everyone.
Thanks.
An altar.